Hi, I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations. I'm excited that you're with us today because Alisa Morgan is joining me on the podcast. Always great to talk with Alisa. And if you're not familiar with her, well, maybe your head's been in the sand. No, but seriously, Alisa is one of Christianity Today's top 50 women influencing the church and culture. And she is a sought-after speaker, a leader, author of 25 books, including one of my favorites, The Beauty of Broken, or one of her recent books. And for 20 years, she served as the CEO of MOPS International. So many of you I know her from there. But she's graduated from MOPS. I should say her kids graduated from that age group, and so she graduated from MOPS as well. And Alisa received an MDiv from Denver Seminary, and she serves on their board currently, still living in Colorado, and which I don't blame her a bit. So Alisa, welcome to Faith Conversations.
I love that introduction. Thank you, Anita. Yeah. Good to be here.
Well, happy to have you. And my guess is, moving on, how many years now have you been away from MOPS?
Yeah, I left MOPS as the CEO in 2009,
okay.
So it has been a while, and I've served as president emerita, but that's not a very fancy, you know, it's kind of a fancy title, not a very functional one. I'm basically just somebody who's a little bit older.
I love it. I love it. Well, I understand that as someone who is a little bit older myself. Well, you know, you've written this book, Hello, Beauty Full, which I thought was interesting when I first saw it. Actually, a coworker said, "Here, you need to look at this," and handed it to me. Actually, it was a male coworker. I'll add that. Okay,
yeah.
And I first thought it was "Hello, Beautiful." I'm like, no. This is "Hello, Beauty Full." All about seeing yourself as God sees you. And into the hands of a woman, me, this book arrived, and I immediately got it because most of us, and I'll say women here, but you talk about men. We think it's mostly women who don't see ourselves properly or as God sees us, or struggle to see ourselves certainly as beautiful. Men struggle the very same way. It looks a little different, but they struggle as well, don't they?
They do. But what you're quoting, and I am too, is that a Dove survey just recently showed that 96% of women worldwide would never use the word beautiful to describe themselves. And that includes those of us who know God, who are in relationship with Him through Jesus, those of us who have been connected to Him and get that we have hope and that we don't need to bury our heads in shame. We also struggle, and men do as well. Men will attach it a little bit more honestly to their sexuality and to their bodies than women do. But we all struggle to see ourselves the way God sees us.
I think it's interesting. I just have one child, and he is male. So I think that parents of young women really even see this even more. I mean, we deal with it ourselves if we're a woman. But I think when you're raising daughters, you get a firsthand view at this whole thing, too. Don't you think? Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, in fact, when I finished the book and it was almost to print, I tell you, I was reading through, you know, the edits one more time, and I just went, you know what? I need to add a P.S. to this whole book. And the publisher beautifully allowed me to. And it's P.S., a word to moms. And I start off and I said, now, if you thought about your daughter or your aunt or your niece or your granddaughter or your neighbor's kid or whatever, several times as you read this book or maybe all the time, I want you to stop right now, turn back to the beginning, and start reading again for you. Because the reality is that the major way we're going to affect any woman's view of herself around us, any woman in our lives, is by addressing how we view ourselves, because we pick it up from each other. And so I will look at my best friend and see, how does she evaluate her worth before the world, her personality, her contribution, her body, etc. And, you know, if we don't have it straight in our heads, we're going to be propagating the mythology that, you know, you've got to be all that with a bunch of bumps here and there and none in other places, you know, in order to be beautiful. And we've got to stop that.
Well, and you talk about this, the whole thing, we look at ourselves as being not enough. And then that actually is a weight on us. It's we struggle under the weight of that that not enoughness. And you just talked about some of the different categories where we feel that, certainly externally, our looks, but there's so many others. Our smarts, our fitness.
I actually unpack five elements
of
beauty. We think beauty is kind of, a pretty sunset or a kitty was playing with a ducky or something. But, beauty, as I look at it, and I'm trying to look at it through the eyes of Scripture to see how God sees us. But these five elements are voice, which is your unique personality.
Yes.
And then vessel, which is your physical body. Womb, W-O-M-B, or craft, if you're a man, C-R-A-F-T, which is your creative potential. And then scar, which is your painful story. Mm-hmm. And sway, which is your influential legacy. Those are hugely meaty topics. And bottom line, in the first part of the book called Hello, I unpack the fact that God sees us through Jesus. He doesn't see us the way we do. He sees us, if you will, pre-fall and post-resurrection, because he sees us through Jesus. He sees us the way he made us. And so when I go into these five elements, I love the freshness that comes by backing away from them and just dipping a toe into these topics a little bit at a time and understanding, oh my gosh, I never looked at it that way before.
Well, I think, certainly I don't think we'll have time to get to all of them, but I would love to get to a few key topics here that you delve into, those words that you just gave us. And there's a whole lot more, certainly, in the book to get the fuller view of all of these that we're talking about today. You'll need to pick up a copy of Hello, Beautiful. But which one would you start with, Alisa?
That's a bad thing to ask an author. So I would start with the one I started with in the book, which is voice.
Yeah, I'm glad.
And, mm-hmm.
As a talker, I'm glad, yeah.
There you go. And you know what? We women, we have certain things in common with our personalities. We were all created in the image of God to be image bearers. We were all created to be co-laborers with men in accomplishing kingdom purposes. We were all created to be azers, strong warriors, to stand in this world and hold up God's intentions. But then we have a unique take on it, and that's our voice.
Right.
What is our personality? And women struggle so much with being told that we have too many words, that we use with too many emotions and too many settings, and I really want to help us get past that, because we go silent too much, thinking our voice doesn't matter, it's not unique, I haven't thought of anything unusual, that not enoughness that you just referred to. And so in this chapter, I help women unpack, in a very personality kind of thing, take all the inventory things, but also to, again, see ourselves the way God sees us. Mm-hmm. How did he make us uniquely, and learning to recognize our voice, our contribution, and give it unapologetically.
I think sometimes, too, in our world, we can see who has had success, and sometimes in the world in which we live, that's been very male. Mm-hmm. And we can think, if I sort of cut those emotional edges off of me, or if I move that direction a little bit more and get a little bit more hard-edged, then maybe I can move forward in a better way, or maybe that's the kind of voice that I need to have. But we really need to pay attention to exactly how God has designed us, and not try and cut out some of those beautiful parts.
That's well said. And, that we are going to have trendy voices, voices that are hotter than others. Just look at Facebook and who's Twitter and who's trending. And we tend to, think, well, that's the best. But, I think some of the more surprising elements of beauty, I would maybe land on two. One is vessel and the other is womb. So maybe let's just go to vessel for a second.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah, love it.
For vessel, we all think, okay, that's my body and that's my sexuality. But I talk about four elements of vessel. So it's flesh, which is really your body, and then curve, which is your sexuality, brain, your intelligence, and muscle, which is your power or your strength. And overall, when I look at vessel and having just dug into it more in Scripture, I really think that a vessel is a container. If you look at your bathroom counter, you've got maybe a bottle that holds some perfume and a tube that holds toothpaste and a cup that holds your toothbrush or your cotton balls, and each container is built to help you access something that it contains.
Hmm.
And when I look at that in Scripture, I see the very trendy and typical passage from 1 Corinthians about, you know, we are the body, you
mm-hmm.
know, that we house the Holy Spirit, we house God. And I think to myself, that really shifts how I see me when I understand that I am a container for God in this planet. And I help others access God through my vessel. And it makes me pull back and go, how am I giving people access to God through my physical body? It's floored me to look at it that way. It makes my vessel much more sacred. And of course, in terms of what I do and don't do with it, but in terms of kind of rolling out a welcome mat so that others have opportunity to know God because of who He is through my vessel. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. And I think also another piece of it is we and I love that you broke it down into specifically vessel into more than just one word. I love
category.
The four,
mm-hmm.
the categories. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think sometimes we can ignore one of those categories, you know, ignore a category that we don't feel as comfortable with you know, I think each of us have a tendency to maybe lean into one or the other or a couple of these categories and just think, okay, the others are for someone else. But
that's
no,
so good. Mm-hmm.
Our vessel it contains all of these categories, and how are we going to address all of them?
I love that.
Yeah.
And you know, Jesus became flesh, and we think about mm-hmm. that. You know, God put himself into a container.
Hmm.
You know, the Word became flesh. And this Word, this God became flesh and came forth out of a woman's vessel and walked the planet in the form of a man's vessel and hung on a cross in a vessel and was raised in a vessel. Vessels are stunning. And to pop back and look at it from this perspective has truly encouraged my being.
I think of young women who, well, all of us actually, you know, who culturally we're encouraged to lean into the flesh, the curve.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember. I remember reading about the age where young gals, middle school-ish, get an idea that, ooh, if I don't do as well on academic tests, I'm more accepted, or what? You know, I can't
mm-hmm.
remember that mm-hmm. whole research that's done on that.
But math and science, especially.
It's awful.
Right?
Yes, uh-huh. And mm-hmm. it's just painful to see that happen, and to even realize that our culture can sometimes perpetuate that or encourage that in young women. So I love that you've got the brain piece in here as well, and. And also muscle, which what do you mean when you talk muscle?
For muscle, I'm talking about our strength. Sometimes it's external, sometimes it's internal.
Okay.
But I actually quote musician Pink, who talks about how she always leaned into her physicality, not for its curvaceousness, as you might think,
mm-hmm.
but because of its strength, because mm-hmm. of the independence it gave her. And I'm not saying independence to the, you know, so we're never in a dependent relationship, but to step into the being that God has allowed us yeah. to be and invites us to embrace. I love that. That's what strength is. Mm. To be able to say a hard thing in a hard moment, to be able to make an unpopular decision for a greater good in obedience to what we feel like God has laid on our hearts, to be able to face a very difficult decision or a hard crisis in our personal life with dignity and with faith, those are elements of muscle.
Mm, okay. Talk about womb and that whole aspect. And I would love for you to break it down so that you can specifically talk to men and women. I love that you say craft if you're a man as opposed to womb,
mm-hmm.
Because I think that's
yeah.
important.
Well, you know, womb is really about our reproductivity,
mm-hmm.
Craft about our creative potential. This chapter, you know, we have books just stun you, Anita, when you write them. I'm like, well, Shazam, I never knew that was in me, you know, and God just gently woos us along as we're
yes.
writers, and I loved this chapter for that reason. Personally, I've never birthed a child biologically. In fact, I've never been pregnant, which is a very ironic placement mm-hmm. for me as the head of a mothering organization. Mm-hmm. My children came to my husband and I through adoption. And I, because of that, there have been times when I have felt like, well, I'm not doing it right, or I can't do it right, or my contribution isn't quite the same. And, you know, I want to say from the get-go, adoption totally counts. I mean, I was able to take these beautiful children born from the womb of another and raised them mm-hmm. as my own, and that totally counts, and it counts for my husband. But there is an element that made me pause on this topic and look at it just a little bit differently and enlarge it. And what I discovered in the process of looking at this topic of womb in our identity, how God sees us through Scripture, is that women were created with the potential to be moms and more. And men were created with the potential to be dads and more. And I looked back at this specifically through Eve. And in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, we're told that she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. Very clearly, the creative purpose of Eve's womb was to form that, you know, first son. Mm-hmm. But if you look at verse 2, she said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about that. And that sentence stung, and in a beautiful way, kind of burned a new place in my understanding. In the form of a question, with the help of the Lord, what will I bring forth? Well, you know, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm really glad that you're talking about this, because even as we say the word womb, that's a painful thought for some. And you sharing
it
your
is.
Own story, I think, is really helpful. And I think, you know, we've got singles who are mm-hmm. contemplating this stuff, people who've, you know, are divorced, various, let alone men in here. So I think I love the broader context of this word, and not to mention that Scripture is equally vibrant and alive for young people, not even at the point in time where this whole thought maybe could be fully fleshed out, no pun intended there, but but you know, that's why I love the broader context. I think that this might be one of the most beautiful chapters.
Oh, thank you. It's totally caught me up, and I think about it again for men and women. You're right, Anita. We have societally defined our value in terms of procreation.
Well, in the church,
yes,
right? Maybe even especially. Yeah. Hey,
right.
Go back to that question, because I interrupted you with that thought. And so what was that question that it elicits?
So that question is, with the help of the Lord, what will I bring forth? Mm. And processing this concept over a couple of decades here, I mean, I'm 60. I'm far down the line, and yet I'm still creating and processing and evaluating my creativity and what I've done, etc. And what I'm discovering is that the womb, or our craft, is exactly a space of creation, of others, definitely, but also of ourselves. And, you know, there is a way in which, with the help of the Lord, maybe, God willing, by the end of my lifetime, I bring forth a fully formed being that is me. I embrace the me that he intended, that he formed in my mother's womb. And I embrace that and allow that to come to its full sense of offering. And I not only embrace it, but I cooperate with God in developing in this such a way that I give back to him the beauty, full me.
Oh,
that he always intended me to be.
I'm over here groaning. You can probably hear me. I'm like, going, that is beautiful. That's a fantastic thought. You know, that we're a part of that, partnering with God and others in our lives. We are a part of the birthing of ourselves. That's an interesting thought there. I love that you included the Richard Rohr quote. I love this quote where he suggests the first half of life is about creating a container. The second half is about deciding what contents to put in it, which is a part of this process you're speaking about.
Right, right. And the reality is that, you know, technically, biologically, physically, I'm a barren woman. But in reality, my life is anything but barren. Together with God, I am bringing forth my creative potential, which is what He always destined me to create and Him to create through me.
Well, and I think it goes beyond, you know, those who are able to, you know, give birth physically, biologically, to the fact that we also encounter seasons in our life. If that was the only value to us, which some would say, which I would disagree, and you would, but we go through seasons as well. When that childbearing and even child rearing, because of energy and capacity within us, kind of wanes as time goes on. You know, we have to be able to be fruitful and birth other kinds of things along the way, because it's not always the season for growing young children and birthing them and growing them up.
Yeah. The reality is that probably a third of our lives are going to be actually involved in that kind of everyday, full focus, full-born mothering. We'll be mothers forever, even when our children predecease us in some cases. Mm-hmm. We will always be mothers. Mm-hmm. But the active years are about a third.
That's interesting.
To understand then that we have responsibility to continue to procreate other elements of ourselves for God's glory is really freeing and also very exciting.
Hmm. Well, I know you go on to talk about, you know, besides voice, vessel, womb, scar, and sway, and we're going to just have to leave that to folks to read for themselves. I love that whole topic of, you know, beauty being in your painful history. Most of us can identify with that, and I would love to hear more, but we're going to draw things to a close here. I always like to give guests the final word. And Alisa, you can go anywhere with that final word, something more for us, or if you want to speak to a specific person that you sense might be listening to the podcast, wherever you want to go, I want to give you the final word.
Thank you. I think I want to say this. It struck me as I dealt with the concept of these three words, hello, which is the first part of the book, beauty, which are these five elements, and then the last part of the book is called full, F-U-L-L. You know, why is that word beautiful? And what struck me as I processed this through and tried my best to absorb this concept for myself, that God views me as beautiful because He sees me through Jesus. Okay, what I realized is that I settle for empty when Jesus came to give me life to the full. And I had to look at that. Why do I settle for empty? He says, I've come to give you abundant life. I mean, that's the whole reason He came. And I uncovered a lot of mythology. Things like, well, a sip is just enough. Anything more is kind of like for Kim Kardashian, George Clooney, you know, I don't get to have that. You know, and then I don't really know if I want full, because full might involve some things that are uncomfortable for me, i.e. suffering, you know, and I don't want to suffer my way to full. And I began to unpack my hesitancies and how I pull back, like the woman at the well who says, you know, I shouldn't be here in broad daylight. And Jesus is going, hey, if you really wanted a drink of water, if you knew who I was, I would give you water that satisfies forever. Well, that's what He wants to give you and me, Anita. And I am trying to open my little parched soul to the point where I want full, all the way up, overflowing to the brim and more, so that what happens is that in my life, as I receive what God wants to do in and through me, I splash and just make this big mess that other people look at me and say, I want what she's having. Mm. I want that kind of full as well, because that's what God came to give us, life to the full, to the beauty full.
Love that. And He's with us in it. I as you were saying that, I could feel myself thinking, I am afraid of being full because I'm thinking it's all on my own and in my own power. And the fact is, He's with us in that full place, whatever that means, you know, whichever kind of full we are experiencing in the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I think I realized in the writing of this book as well that there are ways in which I would push God's love away. I still do. And He just gently keeps going, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Yeah. pushing me away will only hurt you, not me. He made me to receive his love. And the greatest joy I give him is when I receive it, but the greatest fulfillment I come to is when I receive it.
Love that. Well, Alisa Morgan, just a tremendous speaker and author. If you haven't read her books, I really commend Hello, Beautiful to you. So we've been talking about that today. Alisa, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. And Anita, there are 7 video teachings that are free online at alisamorgan.com that you can do with a group with downloadable questions. It's all free.
Fantastic.
You just need the book and off you go.
I love it. And I'm going to put the website and that link in the show notes for folks. So if you didn't catch that, because we want you to have access to that. That is exciting. Thanks for sharing that, too.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, I'm Anita Lustria, and you've been listening to Faith Conversations.